Murphy Show on Sports Radio 92 on the game on this Earthquake Wednesday. Did you feel it this morning? Man, the city's buzzing. If you didn't feel it, don't feel left out. It didn't last all that long. Maybe 8 or 10 seconds, something like that, more or less. But it was kind of an interesting thing because we don't get those very often where they're as noticeable as the earthquake was this morning rattling everybody for – because I just got my – I know you didn't get a chance to feel it, but I just got my coffee – and I was, making my way from, the coffee machine out the door to get into the car. And I stopped and I went, oh, wow, okay, what is that? And I went, earthquake. So it's just such an unusual event around here because you don't think – because what do you know? You think of earthquakes, you think of, what, Alaska, California. The Ring of Fire, right? You don't think of
– I think of California. What you just said, I didn't even know that was going on over there. I think of California. I think of L.A. I think of earthquakes.
Yeah, right? You don't think of them in – Decatur, Tennessee, which is where this one was kind of located.
I mean, but, I think I was kind of used to it because, they got construction going on in this building, and they're always rattling, feel like an earthquake every day. So I guess I was just used to it. It didn't really bother me that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is a talker around town. Everybody chatting up, did you feel it? And that it happened, in a way, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with having not felt it again. It was at 4:15 in the morning, but... the good news is it wasn't, so bad that there was any damage or anything. But there's some people feeling like they were left out because it happened when they were sleeping. My wife's like, oh, man, I wish I would have felt it. Yeah, it's cool until cool until watch a house fire until it's your house.
Kind of like driving a scooter. It's all cool until your friends see you on it. Kind of the same thing.
Well, depending on the look.
It always comes back to the scooter.
Scooter. It does come back to the scooter.
Always comes back to the scooter. High school football tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Congratulations again to Bainbridge, Clinch County, Lee County champions yesterday, and Cedar Grove, which won at the buzzer. The Cedar Grove Saints beat Peach County 14-13. Now, Peach County is the hard luck football team in high school football in this state. You make a strong argument that last year they got ripped off when they lost the title game because I think they did in a really bad call. And this is a Randy Max team. They lost on the final play of the game, Peach County did to Cedar Grove, and the winning score was done by a recruit, five-star recruit wideout named Jadon Hazelwood, who's going to Georgia. And he's a five-star guy, and one of the best wide receivers in the entire nation scored the game winner for Cedar Grove.
So Randy School won.
No, Randy School lost.
Randy School lost.
Yeah. Peach County, 14-13 at the buzzer. Last year they got ripped off in a really bad call, and this year they got beat at the buzzer on a 22-yard touchdown pass. Today there are four more games beginning at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. Athens Academy against Eagles Landing Christian, Rockmart against Heard County, Cartersville against Blessed Trinity, two powerhouses meeting up against each other, and Blessed Trinity is certainly a powerhouse. But, congratulations to Cartersville and what the Canes did in going 14-0 because last year they went, of course, won a title. And last year they did so with Trevor Lawrence, their superstar, the Clemson quarterback, and they were able to get back there again. And then in 7A, the championship game, the last game of the 2 days tonight, Milton, which I believe is in the title game for the first time against the powerhouse in Colquitt County. So we'll see what happens with these high school. And if your team is playing tonight, and I know a lot of fans out there very nervous about what could be taking place. We wish you the very best of luck. It's going to be a high bar for Milton to go up against that powerhouse Packers team from Colquitt down in South Georgia.
Always a fun time to watch high school football here in Georgia. It really is because the fans come out for that. It's a great time.
Well, we get ready for the Falcons on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals and final home game of the season. And for me, I hope the Falcons can get one on the plus side. It would be kind of a nice thing, be out at Flowery Branch today and hopefully they are you have something maybe to smile about next week as the Arizona Cardinals come into town. But we were looking around a little bit, Hugh, and thinking about, who is the leader in the clubhouse right now on some of these major awards in the NFL? Like, right now, who is, Hugh, in your opinion, who has been to this point the offensive player of the year? Is it Pat Mahomes? Is he like the – I'm not talking about MVP now. I'm talking about, who is the guy that's kind of the leader in terms of being the offensive player of the year, the best player on offense? Is it Mahomes? Because of that, what he's been able to do, and now without Kareem Hunt and throwing it sideways like he did?
I think it's going to be tough this year, John. I think he will be in the conversation because of what he's been able to do. I think he surprised a lot of people. I mean, and you look at the comparisons that he's drawing right now. they're drawing comparisons to Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Some of the stuff that he's able to do, I've never seen a quarterback be able to do it, so that makes him special. But you look at Phillip Rivers and how, you know, the San Diego Chargers are doing their thing. I'm just sticking with the AFC right now. You look at Phillip Rivers and how he's playing right now. Who else?
Andrew Luck.
Who?
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, that too, John. But I was thinking Deshaun Watson and how he's playing. I'm sticking with the NFC, AFC right now. AFC. You look at all those young men. You look at him and you see how much he meant to that Houston Texans team. And if they get into the playoffs, they might be a heavy favorite to run the table because they've had a good defense. And the only thing that has kept them out of the Super Bowl the last couple of years is that they couldn't score enough points. They could not score enough points. So he's probably going to be in the conversation. You look at the NFC, no doubt, Drew Brees. Drew Brees has been on fire. He set records. He set them out of reach for some of those things that he's accomplished this year. You look at Todd Gurley. I mean, he's always been in the equation. Man.
Zeke Elliott.
I would say Adam Thielen from Minnesota. Like, he's probably in the equation. He's had a heck of a year. It's so many different guys that you look at. Zeke Elliott. So, yeah, it's so many different guys you look at, man. It's going to be tough to choose this year, I think.
You know, what's interesting when you talk about maybe the offensive player of the year, and that's just kind of a broad category, who's having the best offensive year. This is why I'm impressed with Julio Jones. You have Julio Jones leads the NFL in receiving yards, and he's 150 clear of anybody else, okay? And for all the guys that have had great years, you know, receiving this year, Julio Jones is by far the leading receiver in the NFL on a team that's 4-9. And he has done this on a team that has struggled to block for him and a team that has struggled to get points on the board, and yet he's been able to put up – Hugh, it's plausible that if he has one of those big games – remember, he's had a 300-yard game against the Carolina Panthers in the past. If he has one of those big, gigantic, ginormous games – let's say Sunday against Arizona, let's say he has that kind of breakout game, he could get to 2,000 yards.
He could. There's no doubt about that. Julio's a special player. That's why he's one of those guys that when he speaks now, you listen to him and you take him for his word. I didn't when I first got here. I remember they was getting ready to play the Arizona Cardinals, and Patrick Peterson called him out. Yeah, I bet you he won't do that again. I mean, that was one of the things he did. I bet you he won't do that again. But, yeah, Julio's a silent assassin. He just goes out there and he does his work.
Now, if you look at the defensive player of the year, to the point, again, we're talking about leader in the clubhouse here, there are guys having spectacular years. Aaron Donald is having a lights-out year right now for the L.A. Rams. J.J. Watt, in his return, has been phenomenal for the Houston Texans. Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, both of them for the Denver Broncos, have been really good. But to me, Khalil Mack so changed the entire picture of the Chicago Bears. I mean, he just did. Hugh, the change in Chicago was because of one guy. Because, even if he doesn't have quite the numbers of Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt, you have to account for him so much it's freed everybody else up to make plays.
I would agree. I would agree with that. I think that's a valid argument. But, I mean, and I know this has no merit because this stands on a year-to-year thing. But Aaron Donald has been a disruptive force. It seems like forever. Like, you know, at one point you always talked about J.J. Watt and how he was the guy. That's Aaron Donald now. And Aaron Donald is a guy who finally got paid, and, like, he's taking his game to the next level. So I would say they're 1A and 1B respectively, both of them, Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. They mean so much to both of their squads. So much so, you didn't even hear Ndamukong Suh's name mentioned at all.
No.
And Ndamukong Suh is just a guy with the Rams. It's just a guy. I mean, he probably doesn't have to do a whole lot because Aaron Donald's doing all the work. So, yeah, it's amazing how these two guys, these two defensive players, how they can take over a game for the most part.
Then the NFL's Coach of the Year, kind of leader in the clubhouse here. I find this – I'll give you a few names here. You want to put Sean Payton's name in there? I don't care. Andy Reid, Big Red, what he's done in Kansas City and making the Chiefs. How about Sean McVay turning the Rams into a power? You have Matt Nagy Matt Nagy in Chicago has, you could say, well, look, he got the benefit of the trade. That's true. He did get the benefit of the Khalil Mack trade, but you have to take advantage of it, too. And he's been doing this, putting together a Bears team that is, frankly, 9-4 and running away with the NFC North that has, you know, question marks at certain spots like quarterback. Anthony Lynn. Last year, Anthony Lynn was considered to be on the out, and suddenly the L.A. Chargers are in. And then, of course, Sean McVay. Is there a guy that you think has done would you be Big Red, anybody, the leader in the clubhouse to you?
As far as coach of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's going to be a tough one. You know, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and AFC and what they've been able to accomplish, but you cannot discount what the L.A. Chargers have done and potentially could do this weekend because they matched up with the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. So it's going to be a tough one, John. I would probably lean more so with the Kansas City Chiefs, not just because Big Red was my old coach, but because of the bold move in which he did it. He traded Alex Smith. He traded Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins and relied on a young quarterback who in the preseason, I remember sending him a text because he threw like six picks in the preseason. And I remember texting Coach and saying, Coach, what's up with the young cat? Why he throwing all the picks? He said he got to learn. And now look at him. I mean, this cat for weeks did not throw an interception. I think the first interception he threw was against the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. And to look at what he's been able to do, and this is a guy that just was sitting on the bench, had a handful of starts before he got the job, and has been able to do what he's doing. So I would think that Coach Red, Big Red, would be in the mix for that as well.
All right, so who is your Super Bowl matchup as of today? We had the Rams-Chiefs in that incredible game that they played, remember, against each other? That whatever that lights out game was.
I'm gonna think outside the box just because I took a shot at this city yesterday, and I'm gonna say Chicago. I'm gonna go ahead and get it, even though I just got some stank looks. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm gonna go ahead and keep it neutral, and I'm gonna keep my Twitter feed clean for at least 15 more minutes, and I'm gonna go neutral. I'm gonna get some love from the Bears fan. I'm going to say Bears.
Bears?
Bears. I want to say Chargers, but I'm going to say Bears Chiefs. I'm going to say Bears Chiefs.
I'm with him.
I think the Chargers going to make some noise. I would want to say Bears Chargers just because I want to see if these so-called non-Chargers fans going to, you know, get out of their fandom and come visit.
No,
come visit the A.
No, they won't do that. See, that the San Diego, you know, this was an ugly, brutal divorce that took, and it wasn't, and it was a divorce, Hugh, that was played out over 15 years.
I don't know LA like you and Daryl know LA. I'm not going to claim that I do, but I cannot see some just Chargers fans all of a sudden, oh, y'all can have that. I don't see it. I do not see it. And I would like to see it just to see if there would be some diehard Chargers fans, because I know a few. And to see if they would just say, no, I'm not about that life. They go to the Super Bowl? Because isn't that the reason why they got rid of Drew Brees? Because you got Phillip Rivers because he was supposed to take you to the promised land?
Mm-hmm.
Help me out, Chargers fans. I know somebody out there, Chargers fans, and know exactly what I'm talking about. Wasn't he the one that supposed to take you to the promised land?
Yep.
And then they leave, and you get mad. Now they go to the promised land. You coming back. You coming back. Don't act like, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Y'all have been in this relationship for a long time. You know, I know it's a new year, but they say that new year, new me, and all that. I'm stepping out of that old stuff into the new. No, you coming back, especially if the old person used to date, they clean themselves up and looking all spiffy. Yeah, you coming back. You'll come back.
Well, I'm kind of rooting for Bears Chiefs for two reasons. One, because I don't want the one team in there. But the other team, the other idea, I love the idea of kind of the old school Bears, Monsters of the Midway defense against the high-scoring, high-flying Pat Mahomes. The idea of Khalil Mack versus Pat Mahomes is a great storyline to me. Be a lot of fun. Since we can't have our team in it, then, you know, let's have some fun. I just don't want that other team in it. That's all. Anybody but. That's exactly how I feel. Anybody but. We're still reveling in the MLS Cup. Jason Longshore part of the broadcast team, is going to join us next and tell us where we go from here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This portion of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. We are still reveling, Hugh, in the MLS Cup and a championship in this town. Ooh, yeah.
Revel.
Even wherever the cup may light next. And we don't know. After it went to Magic City, who knows where it's going to end up. We are joined now by Jason Longshore, of course, team of Jason Longshore and Mike Connie broadcasting the games, and he joins us this morning.
You get the fish plate.
Pleading the fifth.
No, but seriously though, are you still on cloud nine from this wonderful thing that happened, this wonderful parade we had the other day?
It's still hitting me at different times, like different things affect me. I mean, you guys know how this goes. Like you kind of put blinders on because there's so much to do and there's so many things to, you know, so many different interviews and so many things to do in the whole process. So you kind of put the emotion to the side a bit as much as you can, but now that it is winding down and you're able to kind of reflect and look back at it, I mean, I look back at some of the highlights from the game and it feels like an out-of-body experience. You know, it feels like I was there but I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. You know, I mean, as a kid who grew up in this town and I watched the Falcons and Braves and Hawks, you know, when I was young, and I didn't have a soccer team to think about a parade for. You know, it wasn't even something that you could have dreamed because mm-hmm. it didn't exist. That's the whole difference here. It's really special.
When you and we're still reveling in the fact that we had a parade in town and you know, we have the MLS Cup. Were you a little bit surprised that Atlanta United got right back to business and traded Greg Garza?
You have to, and that's what's so hard about the calendar with Major League Soccer is in an expansion year. I mean, you had an expansion draft yesterday. You had a trade window, and some teams were active at noon the day after the MLS Cup. So to be the best, you have to be looking for these opportunities. And left back was a position of depth for Atlanta United, and we talked about it a lot during the season, especially after George Bello's emergence, that you were going to have to find a way for Bello to play more in 2019. Now, is he the starter going in day one? No, I don't think so. He's got to earn that. You know, this is a 17-year-old player coming in next year that you're not going to hand it to him. He's going to have to beat out a player in Jose Hernandez, who captained Venezuela to a U-20 World Cup final. And he's going to have to beat out Mikey Ambrose, who we saw when Greg first went down the season with injury. Mikey Ambrose stepped in, and you didn't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a talented competition. But to be able to make this move, clear out some space, and get allocation money in return, it's smart business.
Talking with Jason Longshore, he, of course, is part of the broadcast team for Atlanta United as they win the MLS Cup, and he is now on Twitter at Longshore, if you want to follow him on Twitter. All right, let's talk about some of these things in the offseason. Let's begin, Jason, with head coach Tata Martino. In 2 years, takes his team to an MLS champion. He's off to become – is it firm now that he's the head coach of Mexico?
It's not yet, and this was something that I talked about a lot in this build-up. Mexico and all of the articles out of Mexico said that – yes, Tata Martino's coming. There was always a but, though, and there was always that contingency plan. It hasn't been announced yet. I think everybody is assuming it will. I don't know. I don't know. There are some other jobs out there that Tata Martino could take as well. We're just going to have to kind of wait and see.
Miguel Almiron, Darren Eales has said and been, you know, pretty clear, Jason, that Miguel Almiron is under contract for 3 more years, and he will not take a lowball offer for Miguel Almiron from Newcastle United or anybody else in Europe. That they're going to have to step up and pay to get Miguel Almiron. What is your gut feeling? Will Miguel Almiron drive a transfer fee of $20 million from a team in Europe, and will he be on the team next year or not?
I think he'll get that transfer fee. I do. I think there are enough clubs interested. I think you could get a little bit of a bidding war between a few, and that will happen. It doesn't have to, though. And that's what Darren is making clear to everybody. And this is the new world of MLS, and especially when it comes to Atlanta United. Other clubs around this league, when you have a player of Miguel Almiron's stature who wants to go to Europe, and everybody knew that coming in. This is not a surprise. He wants to test himself in the biggest leagues in the world. So Atlanta United, though, is of a stature, and especially of a financial backing, that they don't have to sell. They're not trying to balance the books here with this type of sale, which happens so often. They're good. If the numbers aren't what they want, Miguel Almiron will play here in 2019 and everybody will be happy. But I think the numbers will be what they're looking for. I think they're going to get the kind of offer they want, and it's going to be a transformational type of deal for this league and for Atlanta United's stature worldwide.
You know, when you look at this team, and we know the head coach, Tata, is gone. We know Greg Garza just got traded to Cincinnati. How much, in your guesstimation, do you actually see this team being different next year?
You know, I don't think it'll be dramatically different on the field. The question is the manager and who comes in. Darren Eales has made it clear that, you know, this is a club that has a philosophy and has an identity that is completely separate from the coach on the touchline. You're not going to see somebody come in and make this team defensive. You know, it's going to have to be a manager who fits into the style of playing fast, playing fluid, playing entertaining, playing attacking soccer. It's also going to have to be somebody who fits into this roster and can get the best out of the players you have, because you're not going to see dramatic turnover. Why should you? You know, this was a championship team. There will be some tweaks to it, but I don't think it's going to look dramatically different, not with so many players returning next season.
Jason Longshore joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Your best guess as to who might be the new man in charge?
There are a few names out there that seem to be getting mentioned a lot. And Guillermo Barros Schelotto from Boca Juniors is the one who's probably been mentioned the most. He's a really interesting case because he played in the league. He won MLS Cup with the Columbus Crew in 2008. He went back to start his managerial career in Argentina, and he's won trophies. You know, he's managed the biggest team with the most money in Argentina right now in Boca Juniors, and he's had success. They reached the Copa Libertadores, that's like the Champions League of South America, reached that final, ended up coming up short to their rivals, River Plate. But he's a guy that you would expect could come here, slot right in. He knows the league, he knows the country, and do just fine. The other one that's intriguing that seems to be getting a lot of traction right now is Jorge Sampaoli, who managed Argentina at the last World Cup, and he struggled. Argentina struggled. Argentina's national team has struggled, honestly, since Tata Martino left it in 2016. But Sampaoli had great success with Chile in his previous run with a national team. And the interesting thing about Sampaoli is his mentor as a manager is Marcelo Bielsa, same as Tata Martino. So philosophically, they would be fairly similar in a lot of ways.
Talking with Jason Longshore about Atlanta United and the MLS, and you talk about the team being, because you ask you about the team being, you know, somewhat similar to next year to last year. I'm curious to your thought about Joseph Martinez. At his age, is it possible that Joseph Martinez would agree to a long-term deal and just stay here and not seek to kind of follow Miggy over to Europe?
Yeah, I don't think Joseph is seeking to go to Europe. I think you have to, you know, keep possibilities open if you're a player of that age and if you're a player coming off the season that Joseph Martinez did. But he's been there and done that, and he didn't have a great experience at a pretty big club in Torino in Italy. Now, if a big club comes through with a big offer, it's a different conversation, and you have to wait and see when that comes. But I don't think Joseph is a guy who is just hungry to go back and take any deal. I think Miguel wants to be in Europe more than Joseph does. I think Joseph is really happy here. I think he loves the level of, you know, being a big-time star in this town, but also being able to live his life in the way that he wants to live his life in Atlanta. You know, he's not hassled. He's not hassled like he was in Italy, but he is a star, and he's a huge star here, and he's beloved in Atlanta. So I could see Joseph Martinez staying here for a long time. I really could. But if the right offer comes, when you've got a goal scorer doing what Joseph does, he's going to attract attention. That's just undeniable.
Talking with Jason Longshore. One final kind of thing here. You know, Darren Eagles talks about taking this franchise and putting it on the international stage. I'm curious, Jason, as we go forward here with this franchise, because he wants to make it like a Manchester United, and I don't know where it I have a hard time gauging where it ranks in terms of, you know, right now as far as, you know, those great programs. I imagine it's not in the top 100. But I think there's a belief system within MLS that MLS can grow. And I think there's also a belief system within Atlanta United that they can become an international team. Do you get a sense that this is actually plausible, that we could be a world power?
I do. I honestly do. After what we've seen in 2018 and what we've seen, success on the field, the success off the field, you know, the fan base, there's still room to grow. This is a team that right now, when you look at the big clubs in MLS, in Mexico, and you look to South America, Atlanta's in that conversation today. Now, Europe is a different category right now, and that's something where I think the league has to continue to grow in stature, in perception, as does Atlanta United. I honestly think it can happen. When you look at Europe and you look at the Premier League, that's where all the money is right now. That's where all the big TV money is, the TV deals. Teams are spending crazy amounts of money. Spain, you have a top two in Barcelona and Real Madrid that are outstanding. There's a drop-off to the rest of the league. Germany has that after Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. Italy has that after a Juventus. France definitely has that after a PSG. You have an opportunity, if you're MLS, to get into the bottom of that conversation, to be at the level of a France and be competing for those types of players and that type of attention. The way you do it is you go out and you win CONCACAF Champions League and you get to the FIFA Club World Cup and you make some noise, because that is on the field undeniable. You're always going to have a little bit of an anti-MLS perception in Europe, thinking it's not as high of a quality. But if you win international competition, you can't take trophies away.
Right, you can't take trophies away. Do appreciate it, Jason. I know it's been a wonderful few days for you, and congratulations on a wonderful broadcast and being part of this. It's really kind of special.
It is. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem.
At Longshoe on Twitter. When we get back, we'll venture into the Wendy Zone next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up! It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, he brought this up earlier when y'all were talking with Gary Stokin, the president of the Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl that will be here in Atlanta. Well, Sports Business Daily, as they've done annually since 2006, has compiled that list of player gifts from every bowl game this season, which is always so much fun to go through and kind of see what the players are getting for going to bowl games. Now,
The swag bags.
Yes, the whole gift suites. But NCAA rules, I know some will seem more extravagant than others, but NCAA rules and bowl committees are only allowed to provide each participant with gifts totaling a combined maximum value of $550. So I picked out the ones from the SEC and then some from the teams that are playing here in Georgia. So when Georgia plays Texas in the Sugar Bowl, they're going to get that gift suite, a Fossil watch, a New Era cap. I've never heard of these before. Rock'em Socks? I don't know if it's a popular brand of socks. I've never heard of Rock'em Socks.
No,
and then cufflinks. So that is what Georgia is getting for the Sugar Bowl.
Would you rather have a watch or would you rather have a gift card, Hugh?
I'd rather have a gift card.
Yeah, me too.
Because that way you can get whatever you want. Like a Fossil watch. It's nice. Fossils make some nice watches. It all depends on which one you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. The Quickling Bowl, which will have Georgia Tech and Minnesota, they're getting a $175 Best Buy gift card, a JBL E55 BT over-ear wireless headphones. This is pretty cool. A life-sized fat head decal for each participant of his likeness. So you'll have your own fat head that you can sort of put anywhere. Backpack, shirts, a mini helmet, and football. And then Georgia Southern is playing Eastern Michigan in the Raycom Media Camila Bowl. They will get that gift suite, a Fossil watch, Samsonite rolling duffel bag, a beanie, a big game football. So I don't know if there was any other ones that you guys are interested in. I can look them up, but those are the ones for our teams here in Georgia. They're swag bags. I can post the entire list at 929 The Game.
Yeah, I would be interested to see who's got like the best swag bag You know, I mean, and I think I kind of like the gift card kind of guy. You know, I mean.
Well, if you're Kentucky playing in the Citrus Bowl, you're getting a $400 Best Buy gift card.
Yeah, see that. So now that's pretty sweet. Because then, right? Because then you're going to buy somebody headphones. Maybe they have headphones. Mm-hmm. Somebody a watch. I don't wear a watch.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you have the opportunity to get whatever it is you want. And I think if I heard Gary Stoker correctly, he said the bowl can give you $550 and the school can give you something.
What they were saying, he was saying something about matching it. You can match it. So, yeah.
So that'd be $1,100. That's not a bad deal.
No, going to a bowl game, I mean, just getting to a bowl game, you're going to get a swag bag, which is pretty right. Awesome. So I'll tweet that entire list at 929 The Game. Well, I want to do a follow-up on the story I said mentioned yesterday, Steph Curry making news when he mentioned on a recent podcast that he didn't think we landed on the moon. John, I know you were all up in arms about this yesterday. Well, NASA invited him over for a visit. It says NASA's offered to give NBA superstar Steph Curry a tour of one of its lunar labs after he said he doubts that humans landed on the moon, in which Steph Curry took to Twitter to reply to with just the emoji with the sunglasses on, essentially saying, cool. Well, he did a Q&A on his new Curry Sixes. So he's tweeted, what's up, guys? I'm doing a question and answer. 30 minutes to talk Curry Six. Hit me with your questions. Well, here were some of the questions that Steph Curry got, and they had nothing to do with the Curry Six. Where do moon rocks come from? Did we land on the moon? True or false? Sam, the CT, said, will there be a moon pair of the Curry Sixes? What else besides the moon landing do you think is fake? Did you promote the moon landing conspiracy to distract us from an impending Draymond trade? So there were a whole bunch of questions that had nothing to do with the Curry Six, but a lot to do about landing on the moon and NASA.
I guess if you're one of these people that believes that we didn't go to the moon, and if you are, if you're one of these people that believes we didn't go to the moon, going to NASA and seeing a rock is not going to change your mind. You're going to go, man.
I don't believe that we landed on the moon.
Here we go. Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, John.
I feel you.
I don't believe it.
I'm going to see if I can say this in a way where it's not really controversial.
Like, we never landed on the
moon? But I went to. When I was going to school. When I was growing up and I was in school, I was told a lot about history that wasn't true, and by teachers that was their job to tell us. So I think it's okay to question everything, because there was a lot that I didn't learn in school that a part of our history. So I'll just keep it that way. So I mean, who knows? I mean, and if I didn't see it for myself, I think it's okay to question.
I was always raised to question the knowledge, and we haven't went back, so I'm wondering, like, okay, why would you only go?
We scrapped that, it.
That's
go.
The one that, you know what, that's the same thing.
Well, not with robots, with humans. Why haven't we went back?
Well, I know. They scrapped it to go to the space shuttle program, which made a lot of us very angry after the, you know, and rightfully so, I think. You know, I mean, we should have gone back.
I had somebody, and I don't know if they were, like, on them herbals or whatever. They said, "We there's no movies about the moon." Like, they always make movies about going to Mars and other places. They don't want to make no movies about the moon because they feel like if they make it about the moon, then you would know that it was a hoax.
Yeah,
so,
but see, if we had, and play this out politically, if we had not gone to the moon, right, just think about this. Do you think the Russians and Chinese would have exposed that and said, hey, listen, you guys.
John Freaky, this was not meant to get you all up in your feelings, dog. This was just meant as this was a forum to basically say you can believe whatever you want to believe. We're all inclusive. That's all I was saying.
And the Curry Sixes are for sale.
Yeah.
It's not about you to give us a class on, you know, what you believe to be true. I mean, that's fine. If you believe that, that's fine. If Daryl believes that in the Easter Bunny, that's Daryl's business.
The Easter Bunny is real.
Well, there you have it. And Rocky, just like Rocky's real.
It's like so, John doesn't want to believe that he can go to the strip club.
Oh, man. Move on?
I'm going. Okay. Yeah, just go ahead and move on. Okay. Arthur and I are going to fight after the show, which is in about 11 minutes.
Well, there's sort of vague details on this, but yesterday on social media, Nicki Minaj revealed she intends to sue Jesse Palmer, the longtime ESPN talent, and she posted a photo of him. And it's not him hosting a show on ESPN. It's him hosting the Daily Mail. So she posted a photo of him with this Instagram caption, "You better have a good lawyer. Hashtag Jesse Palmer, you just lied on me on national TV and now you're being sued. You better be able to back up what you just said about me with facts. Hashtag super facts. Hashtag defamation." So there's no indication on what he said on the Daily Mail. Some are thinking that it has to do with her brother, But she also took to Twitter saying, "You going to jail," and added him on Twitter and said, "The Barbs," which she calls her group of fans, "are getting more tuition and student loan money after I sue this bleep at Jesse Palmer TV." So that's going to be something to monitor moving forward, because Nicki Minaj sort of going after Jesse Palmer on ESPN.
I haven't had a chance to read through this story, so I'm looking
out. There's not very many details, so it was vague. It was just an Instagram post that showed him yesterday, and there's no real details. I've looked at a couple of sites who posted this, including Awful Announcing, the big leaders running with the story. There's no details on what exactly he said that
send
she would
him
be
to jail. How's she going to send him to jail?
You know,
for telling the story?
He's
okay.
I guess,
reading through this story, Nicki Minaj had a brother who had to register as a sex offender after child rape charges, has a new boyfriend who's also a registered sex offender, and Jesse Palmer made a crack on some show, on his show, whatever the show is, that this is the first time that Nicki Minaj has defended a sex offender.
Oh.
Okay.
There you go. That's a lot.
So it has to do with her brother and her boyfriend, and whether or not, so there's some beef there going on. It is a Wednesday, very interesting Wednesday, with head coach Dan Quinn joining us today. Top of the hour, Rick and John rolling through this as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.